Evernote goes business. Evernote moleskins. Apple crushes Samsung, Amazon's NDC content, and Star Wars in 3D. It's Monday, August 27th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chapton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Before getting into the big, big news of the day, let's talk about the big news of the day. Evernote on Friday announced a bunch of great things at their Evernote Developer Conference, and they've got some cool stuff. So I'm a huge fan of Evernote, and let's dive into it. First up is Evernote updating their app and playing better with paper. According to The Verge, Evernote and Moleskin created a special $25 notebook called the Evernote Smart Notebook, which is uniquely suited for Evernote users. The Smart Notebook comes with one of two different paper types. You can take use of Evernote's app to take a picture of any page in your notebook, and everything is immediately available to you in searchable in Evernote. Evernote's iOS app was upgraded today with a new page camera feature that makes the connection work. For now, it looks like other platforms are left out. The Smart Notebook also comes with stickers that you can use to specify a certain tag or notebook so that when you take a picture of a page, the app will automatically sort it into the proper tag and notebook. That is rather awesome. In pre-order today, they'll be shipping in October. Next up in the Evernote land is Clearly. Evernote Clearly did get an update. It is the Instapaper competitor by Evernote. They added a few things, including related notes when you're reading your story that you clipped or whatever you want to call it. They'll pull up related notes that you have already clipped. Highlighting is now supported, and Sony Reader support. Clearly, to me, seems like a really cool idea. They'll probably be using in 2 years or so. Right now, it doesn't work with iOS or even Safari on the Mac. And it's something I don't use because it's not on the platforms that I use. One day it may be there, but for now, I'd keep calling it beta, even if it really isn't. And they aren't calling it beta. The last Evernote topic of today is Evernote for Business. The business version of Evernote adds improved user management, onboarding, better file sharing, and a user directory for enterprise use. Look for Enterprise Business to be available in December of this year, with pricing at $10 per user per month. In the meantime, you can sign up on their website at evernote.com/business. Before moving on, a quick mention that the Evernote trunk has been redesigned. Check it out. Now on to the big, big news of the day, and that is Apple v. Samsung, Apple versus Samsung. For those that have been in the dark, Apple has been going to court against Samsung for ripping off the iPhone, amongst other things. Well, now we have a verdict on this massive case. Before getting into the verdict, I just want to remind everyone of some key things. Steve Jobs, during the 2007 introduction of the iPhone, warned companies against stealing from Apple. When showing off the touchscreen, Steve said, "Boy, have we patented it." The audience laughs, but Steve was serious here when he said, "We have patented it," and they go after people that copy them. There is a link in the show notes to a YouTube video showing that part of the keynote. Show notes are available at iWakePodcast.com. Next up is Dan Frakes of Macworld, making a rather obvious statement, but something many forget. Dan Frakes. When the iPhone debuted, it was widely criticized for having no buttons and no keys. Now people think the iPhone's design is, quote-unquote, obvious. Yeah, that's right. When the iPhone debuted, it was actually made fun of for its simplicity in design with just having a huge screen and a home button. This is the point that Apple drove home in this hearing. It's not like the iPhone was an obvious thing to create, but they created it, and now everyone is copying it and ripping it off because it was so obvious when no one thought about it except for Apple. So with all that said, what was the verdict that Apple and Samsung got handed down to them? According to Mac Rumors, the jury found that Samsung owes Apple $1.05 billion in damages for willfully infringing on Apple's intellectual property. Apple's stock price rose to an all-time high, more than $675 per share in after-hours trading following this verdict. The 9-person jury was asked to fill out a 20-page jury form with more than 700 questions across 33 groups. They were required to come to a unanimous decision on each question. The decision came faster than most would have expected, as it was such a big form. The bottom line here, though, is the jury got through this faster than we expected because the jury felt that Samsung did, in fact, steal from Apple and filled out the paperwork to reflect just that. The jury is made up of average-day Americans that aren't into tech blogs like many of you are. They really do reflect the obviousness of the truth that Samsung is, in fact, a thief. So, with that said, how did Apple and Samsung respond to this verdict? Apple spokesperson Katie Cotson: "We are grateful to the jury for their service and for investing the time to listen to our story, and we were thrilled to be able to finally tell it. The mountain of evidence presented during the trial showed that Samsung's copying went far deeper than even we knew. The lawsuits between Apple and Samsung were about much more than patents or money. They were about values. At Apple, we value originality and innovation and pour our lives into making the best products on earth. We make these products to delight our customers, not for our competitors to flagrantly copy. We applaud the court for finding Samsung's behavior willful and for sending a loud and clear message that stealing isn't right." Samsung issued this statement: "Today's verdict should not be viewed as a win for Apple, but as a loss for the American consumer. It will lead to fewer choices, less innovation, and potentially higher prices. It is unfortunate that patent law can be manipulated to give one's company a monopoly over rectangulars with rounded corners, or technology that is being improved every day by Samsung and other companies. Consumers have the right to choices, as they know what they are buying when they purchase Samsung products. This is not the final word in this case or in the battles being waged in courts and tribunals around the world, some of which have already rejected many of Apple's claims. Samsung will continue to innovate and offer choices for the consumer." So Samsung, you know, they still don't get it. With Samsung getting slapped in the face, this means, in America at least, that Samsung will stop copying Apple, hopefully, and start putting unique and innovative products in their product pipeline. They've never done innovative products. They've done copycat products. So hopefully, we will finally get competition with innovative products, if they're able to do that. That is a question. Is Samsung able to innovate, make products that aren't stolen from another company? Even the Galaxy S3, which is largely unique, steals Apple's Siri in software. So we'll see how they can do in this new era. And hopefully we'll get more choice from Samsung because of this. I'm not sure what kind of crack Samsung was smoking, but it must have been some pretty bad stuff. Next up is Tim Cook addressing Apple's employees by saying this: "Today was an important day for Apple and for innovators everywhere. Many of you have been closely following the trial against Samsung in San Jose for the past few weeks. We chose legal action very reluctantly and only after repeatedly asking Samsung to stop copying our work. For us, this lawsuit has always been about something much more important than patents or money. It's about values. We value originality and innovation and pour our lives into making the best products on earth. And we do this to delight our customers, not for competitors to flagrantly copy. We owed a debt of gratitude to the jury who invested their time in listening to our story. We were thrilled to finally have the opportunity to tell it. The mountain of evidence presented during the trial showed that Samsung's copying went far deeper than we knew. The jury has now spoken. We applaud them for finding Samsung's behavior willful and for sending a loud and clear message that stealing isn't right. I am very proud of the work that each of you do. Today, values have won, and I hope the world, whole world, listens. Tim." All I can say there is, well said, sharing many of the ideals that were shared with the PR release from the Apple spokesperson. And finally today, we get to hear some feedback from the jury as to why they decided what they did. Manuel I'm not going to even try to pronounce his last name, but Manuel, who was on the jury, reiterated that it was clear there was infringement. When asked for specifics, he said, well, there were several. The emails that went back and forth from Samsung's executives about the Apple features that they should incorporate into their devices was pretty, evidential to me that this was a copy. And also, on the last day, they showed the pictures of the phones that Samsung made before the iPhone came out, and the ones they made after the iPhone came out. Some of the Samsung executives they presented on video testimony from Korea, I thought, were dodging the questions. They didn't answer a single one of them. They didn't help their cause. In determining the amount, the award amount, Hogan, who was on the jury, reports that they felt Apple's demands of $2.75 billion was extraordinarily high, especially taking into account the uncertainty in Apple's ability to have sold significantly more iPhones due to component and supply constraints. That said, Hogan told Reuters they did want to send a message. And I think that message was clear with $1,051,855,000 being awarded to Apple. That is all for now. I'm sure more legal battles will arise, and I'll cover the relevant ones here. Next is some general app news. First is an in-depth look at the Mac App Store, its pros and cons. I'm not going into it here, but I just want to mention that this was rather well done and worth a read. It's at mattgemell, which is gemmell.com. It's linked to in the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. A very long read, but a good read. I'm a fan of the Mac App Store, but he points out there are some cons. Next up is a brand new version of Sketchbook Pro for the Mac. It's now at version 6 and is a completely new app, not available for free upgrades. So what's so special about this app? Well, first off, it's got iCloud for document storage and syncing across Mountain Lion Macs. It supports a Retina display on the MacBook Pro. It was designed with multi-touch trackpads and makes navigating rather fun. The interface is much cleaner and easier to get into. Oh yeah, it's only $30. That is an intro price, but I expect it to go at highest $50. The price point for what you get is rather remarkable and is a nice alternative to the $15 Pixelmator. Anyways, a great app, if you're into that sort of thing, is available exclusively in the Mac App Store, where it has it that it'll be coming to other platforms soon. Last up in app news is Dropbox, which is both an app and a service. Dropbox has beefed up security by offering an optional two-step verification. So here's how you do it. If you want this extra security feature, you go into Dropbox. Let's do this again, sorry. To enable Dropbox two-step authentication, you'll need to allow Dropbox to send you a text message with a code or use a mobile authenticator app if you don't want to have Dropbox know your number. Either way, it works fine. It enables the something you have plus something you know steps to help keep you safe. To get started, go to your account settings page on Dropbox. Click on the security tab and scroll down to the bottom of the page and enable two-step verification. Thanks to Lifehacker for their step-by-step on how this new security feature works. Two-step verification is used by Google and a couple of other companies. Closing out the show today are a few odd and end stories. First up, it looks like that 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro is down to a 2 to 4 day ship time in America with immediate availability in certain international stores. Good news there. Next up is Amazon and NBC partnering up to make Amazon Prime streaming even better. NBC is letting Amazon stream some of their rather great shows. Titles include Parks and Recreation, Parenthood, Friday Night Lights, Heroes, and Battlestar Galactica. Still no Office. Hopefully that'll come at a later date. Good news as Netflix could use some competition here. And last of the day is Star Wars finishing out its 3D run of the prequels. Apparently both episodes 2 and 3 are coming out next year. At the Star Wars Celebration 6 event in Orlando, Lucasfilm announced that episodes 2 and 3 in 3D will be released in theaters back-to-back in the fall of 2013, arriving September 20th and October 11th, respectively. This is a change from the one-year release of all the films, basically a six-year rollout, as they originally started with. No reason for this change was given, and still no word yet on when the original trilogy will go 3D. I'd expect it to come out in 2014 if they hold to their other schedule they had. I'll be curious to see if George wants to add or change any of the scenes this time around. He's been generally more not as touchy to the prequels. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. You can find the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. If you are an iWake Again member, you'll have access to a script of today's show. You can get access to that over at iWakePodcast.com/again. That's where you get the info about iWake Again, and that's where you can sign up for the service. I also do videos over at youtube.com/TCHATEN. And once again, iWakePodcast.com/again for additional content and access to the scripts. Thanks for listening or watching. I will talk to everybody tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Have a good one. I'll talk to you again real soon.